Kendall's
Metal Shop.
As we continue our third and final part of Metal Shop Salute to Aerosmith, we'll explore more of the multi-platinum comeback LP, Permanent Vacation. Chosen due to his success with Bon Jovi's Slippery When Wet and New Jersey, Bruce Fairbairn was enlisted to twist the knobs on the album, which was recorded between March and May 1987 and released in late August of that year. Here's Tom Hamilton with more on what it was like to work with Bruce.
It was our first album since Rocks where we really had a coherent producer to work with. There's somebody that was really qualified to be called a producer. And one of the things that a producer does is he acts as kind of a coach, helps the band organize their material. And he helped us make sure that everything was really well prepared and really laid out before we went in the studio so that we could go and play the songs with a lot of confidence and just really lay into them. And then when we had those tracks, we were able to be creative on top of that.
Forgive me if I seem out of line, and should we have got a gun?
just sitting in the shade, talking about the money that I ain't made. Singing, what boy, don't you lounge? Track like a what boy, don't you lounge? Track. What boy, don't you lounge? Track like a what boy, don't you lounge? Track. Surely would stand on the rock that Moses stood, singing, what boy, don't you lounge? Truckin' like a what boy, don't you lounge? Track, what boy, don't you lounge? Truckin' like a what boy, don't you lounge? Track. Drank so much hooch, it made my eyes begin to blur. They say I nailed her to the wall. A stitch in time don't mean a thing, no thing that jewelry could make me cry.
Aerosmith and Hangman Jury from 1987's Permanent Vacation. I'm Charlie Kendall, and you're locked into our tribute to Boston's most notorious band, Aerosmith. Throughout the years, Aerosmith created several non-traditional instruments, which were used in the band's history. For example, a sugar packet in place of maracas was used during the opening of the classic track Sweet Emotion. Mega hit Ragdoll used another one of these impromptu sounds in the form of flesh bongos. Here's Steven Tyler.
We were thinking about all the things, the noises and gimmicks that we'd used in the past.
And this wasn't one of them.
And the song just, we didn't know what it was, but it needed something else. And we was combing our minds for what this thing would be. And I thought to myself, I know what it is.
Yes.
How silly of me. We need a couple of strippers up here, bare-bottomed, and smack on their butts.
Kendall's Metal Shop.
I'm in love.
This is Tom Hamilton of Aerosmith getting wild and crazy with you on Metal Shop.
92.9 and 96.5 WBPF, where Randy Turner does the Rolling Home Show. Weekday afternoons with random notes from around the planet.
I have never understood the concept of boneless wings. It's just a chicken nugget, right? I mean, I like those. I can't stand wings. Way too much work for no payoff. But, you know, wings are really popular. And when you order or buy boneless chicken wings, that's what you would expect to get. Yes? No, apparently not in Ohio. We're the state Supreme Court, and these days nothing good ever follows the word Supreme Court. The Ohio State Supreme Court has ruled that boneless wings can, in fact, have bones in them, and consumers should expect that. This all wound up as an issue on the table when a restaurant customer suffered serious medical issues because he got a tiny piece of bone stuck in his throat. 3 days later, he was unable to keep food down, and in the emergency room, they found that the bone had torn his esophagus and caused a severe infection. None of that is good. The Ohio Supreme Court ruled that boneless wings refers to the cooking style and not the preparation of the meat. I don't understand any part of that. What does the way you cook the chicken have to do with whether there's bones in it? I think you guys may have missed the point on all of this.
Roll home with the Rand Man and the Rolling Home Show. Weekday afternoons, and get random notes from around the planet on 92.9 and 96.5 WBPM.
Charlie Kendall's Metal Shop.
Welcome back. With their second highest selling album, tied with the record that followed, Get a Grip, here's a taste of the septuple platinum Pump.
Yeah.
from 1989's Pump. That's F-I-N-E. I'm Charlie Kendall, and we're moving through the third installment of our tribute to hard rock's first sleaze man, Aerosmith. In talking with Tom Hamilton about the record Pump, Metal Shop wanted to know if there was any outside pressure to make a second permanent vacation. Here's his answer.
Yeah, well, you know, people on the outside, people from the record company, et cetera, you know, were saying stuff like, well, you know, you got to have a dude, you got to have an angel, and that approach to making a record. But that's the business people. The only way we know how to make a record is to do whatever gets us off that day at rehearsal. It's the only way we know of to evaluate a song is if we get off on it. You know, we don't know how to sit down and design a single or design music that people would expect from us. And that goes way back to the beginning of the band. You know, we just really did what we liked. And, you know, we had a feeling that other people were going to like it too. And luckily, it's just been real successful for us.
You try.
Now, I know we're all familiar with that sexy female voice that opens the track, Love in an Elevator, but do you know how it actually came about? Here again is Tom Hamilton with the juicy details.
We needed the elevator girl in the beginning. You know, we wanted to do this whole scene, you know. And we're going, who can we get? Can we get Cher? Maybe. Well, let's see, who else can we get? You know, some big star. And then Bruce said, I tell you what, just so we have something on tape that we can, you know, like use as a reference, let's get one of the secretaries to come in and do it. And so the next thing you know, this secretary comes in and stands there and says these lines about 100 times, you know, with Steven standing over her going, this word a little bit more, you know, a little softer, this word a little louder, this word a little longer. And finally, they got a great take. And, you know, we always assumed that we would get somebody well-known, you know, that would come in and do it. And, you know, we could make a whole, you know, little press release out of that. But it just turned out that this secretary did it really great. So we kept it.
Second floor, hardware, children's wear, ladies' lingerie. Oh, good morning, Mr. Tyler. Going down.
Working like a cowboy, boss man. Whoa. Working for the company. Whoa. Betting on the dice, I'm tossing. Whoa. I'm gonna have a fantasy. Between the lines, loving in an elevator.
living at La Vita, living it up when I'm going down.
The iconic Love in an Elevator from 1989's hit album Pump.
Hi, this is Joe Perry, and you're listening to Metal Shop.
If you like music that was created by real live people and not artificial intelligence computers, then you're in the right place. Let's rock on. 92.9 and 96.5 WBPM.
Charlie Kendall's Metal Shop.
After 1989's Pump exploded, the band took some time to cool down. One highlight, however, came on June 6, 1992. When Joe Perry and Steven Tyler joined Guns N' Roses on the live pay-per-view from the Hippodrome in Paris, France.
I got one thing to say!
Mr. Joe Perry.
Guns N' Roses, with Steven Tyler and Joe Perry from Aerosmith performing Mama Kin and Train Kept a Rollin' from Paris in the summer of 1992. Metal Shop's tribute to Aerosmith continues with a final thought from the band on how they're still able to relate to an audience that could be 20, 30, or even 40 years younger than the group itself.
There is a certain point where there's a crossover where you know, we do converge. And that is, there's some kind of, you know, emotional energy that's in the music that we're all feeling. You know, obviously we've got certain other concerns in our lives now that might be, not have been the same as when we were 16. But one thing that we have learned to do is to always respect the kid that's inside. Sometimes you've got to let that kid take over, because maybe the kid knows more about what should be done than the adult, you know, and that's something that, you know, we've been turned on to. You know, when you get older, you know, people are always saying, hey, grow up, you know. Well, the thing is you can grow up and you can be mature and you can be an adult without throwing all that great stuff away that you had as a kid.
Thank you.
This episode of Charlie Kendall's Metal Shop was produced by Corey Harker. Confidant to the stars, Chris Aiken. Executive producer, Ron Keel. I am the Butcher, Charlie Kendall.
Yo, this is Steven Tyler from Aerosmith, and you're listening to Metal Shop.